Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. Reading today from a study of Ezekiel, part 4. We're looking at some nations that God's judgment is falling upon. They're Judah's neighbors in the day of Ezekiel. We're looking at Tyre now and the boast that Tyre's people were making that provoked God to his anger. Look at chapter 26, verses 1 and 2. In the 11th year, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, because Tyre said concerning Jerusalem, Aha, the gate of the peoples is broken. It is swung open to me. I shall be replenished now that she is laid waste. Knowing just the little pieces of Tyrian history that I've already shared, and that would be the last audio, makes crystal clear what Tyre was thinking here. Israel had pushed Phoenicia to the water's edge. Well, Tyre had profited from it, but the restrictions, the hemming in to the east constantly was a pain to these freedom-loving people. But now Israel's gone. Nebuchadnezzar has done his work, as Ezekiel and the other prophets had predicted. The siege, the starvation, the slaughter, the destruction. How delighted the Tyrians were. No more fences and gates keeping us out. We'll take over all this territory that has suddenly been opened to the east and to the south. Maybe they even credited their gods with this victory. But not so fast, Tyre. Yahweh and his instrument, Nebuchadnezzar, are not finished. Look at verses 3 to 6. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will bring up many nations against you, as the sea brings up its waves. They shall destroy the walls of Tyre and bring down her towers, and I will scrape her soil from her and make her a bare rock. And she shall be in the midst of the sea a place for the spreading of nets. For I have spoken, declares the Lord God, and she shall become plunder for the nations. And her daughters on the mainland shall be killed by the sword. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Well, as early as 1400 BC, the city could be thought of in two ways, a coastal port and an inland city, excuse me, an island city. The imagery of this prophecy makes more sense thinking of Tyre in both ways. She was in the midst of the sea, as an island. When the conquest was finished, this little island was nothing more than a fisherman's village, a bare rock used for the spreading of nets. All that was magnificent about her would be destroyed, the walls, the towers, and her daughters, those Tyrians living still on the coast of what is today Lebanon, would suffer the ravages of the sword by that same invasion. But what of the reference to the many nations, many nations? Who's going to be carrying out this vengeance? Look at 26 again, verses 7 to 14. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses and chariots, and with horsemen and a host of many soldiers. He will kill with the sword your daughters on the mainland. He will set up a siege wall against you, and throw up a mound against you, and raise a roof of shields against you. He will direct the shock of his battering rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. His horses will be so many that their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the horsemen and wagons and chariots when he enters your gates as men enter a city that has been breached. With the hoofs of his horses he will trample all your streets. He will kill your people with the sword, and your mighty pillars will fall to the ground. They will plunder your riches, loot your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. Your stones and timber and soil, they will cast into the midst of the waters, And I will stop the music of your songs, and the sound of your lyres shall be heard no more. That's L-Y-R-E-S. The other kind too, I imagine. I will make you a bare rock. You shall be a place for the spreading of nets. You shall never be rebuilt, for I am the Lord. I have spoken, declares the Lord God. In this passage, the Lord enlarges on the summary given just before it and tells exactly who's going to be involved in the massacre of the Tyrians. It was Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon who was so used. Just a short time before, the Tyrians had been thinking of this emperor as the hero of the day, the deliverer from the oppressive Israelites. Now he's to be their final judge, ordained by the same God who had to punish his own people in the same way. Do the nations of our time not know that when they see judgment fall on the very house of God from time to time, that their own judgment is not thus being canceled? If God judges the godly, where will the ungodly appear when all is finished? Of note in this description, I see Nebuchadnezzar called King of Kings. It's none other than the prophet Daniel who styles Nebuchadnezzar as King of Kings, too. God spoke through both of these men the title that lets us know that God, in his sovereignty, had given all the kings of the world into his temporary power. Artaxerxes of Persia calls himself by the same label in Ezra's account. Three other times in the New Testament, Jesus is given this description, for he is the true king over all kings who have ever reigned or ever will reign. His kingdom is not temporary as theirs, but as Isaac Watts puts it, and I guess this quote shows up in many of my books, I love it, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moons shall wax and wane no more. This designation helps us to understand to whom the nations of the passage are referring. The emperors do not march alone. He calls alongside all the conquered nations that he had accumulated in his whirlwind destruction of the Middle East. Worthy of notice next are the methods the king will use. See how similar they are to the plans that he made against Jerusalem. A siege wall, mounds, battering rams. The siege of Tyre lasted 13 years from 585 to 572 BC. It began the year after Jerusalem's destruction was completed. The rest of the prophecy is quite self-explanatory, quite gruesome, and as stated, Tyre never became a great city after that. Alexander besieged the attempted rebuilding of the city years later, even creating a causeway from the mainland to the island, another serious defeat. The Lord Jesus visited Tyre, as did Paul, during a time when it was still populous but not in any way exalted. Tradition says that a church was formed there after Stephen's martyrdom. A form of Christianity remained in that town until the Muslims took it from the Crusaders in the 13th century. And there's still a town there, as noted above, but the Tyre of ancient days is no more. The proud, empire-like people who ruled the waves and gloated over Israel's loss, they are no more. Just like God said. Now, what's going to be the reaction of the nations when Tyre falls? Verses 15 to 18, thus says the Lord God to Tyre, will not the coastlands shake at the sound of your fall? When the wounded groan, when slaughter is made in your midst, then all the princes of the sea will step down from their thrones and remove their robes and strip off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground and tremble every moment and be appalled at you. and they will raise a lamentation over you and say to you, how you have perished, you who were inhabited from the seas, O city renowned, who was mighty on the sea. She and her inhabitants imposed their terror on all her inhabitants. And now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall, and the coastlands that are on the sea are dismayed at your passing. I read in Benson's commentary, quote, all the princes and rich merchants, or the merchants who are as princes, as Isaiah speaks, of Zidon, Carthage, and other maritime cities that maintained a trade with Tyre and got great wealth by that means, shall express a deep grief and concern for the fall of it. Quote, well, this is the main trading partner for islands, coastlands far and near to the city, an incredibly intricate system of goods that passed to and from the city is suddenly disrupted and abolished. A similar wailing is recorded for the eventual fall of Babylon. Remember? Revelation 18, the merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will stand afar off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud, alas, alas, for the great city that was clothed in fine linen, in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels, and with pearls. For in a single hour all this wealth has been laid waste. And all shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors, and all whose trade is on the sea, stood far off and cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning, what city was like the great city, Babylon? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, alas, alas, for the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth. For in a single hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. Notice that the affection of these mourners, whether Babylon or Tyre or any great power, America, the affection has to do with material loss. Oh no, what do we do now? The money's gone because they're gone. Now, there's no heartfelt affection for the people or worry about the slaughter. The love of this world eventually leads to eternal loss. I trust that there's no one listening to me today who's caught up in loving this world, being wedded to it so much that the kingdom of God has become unimportant to you. That's all for this time. Let me tell you about a new aspect of my sermon audio ministry. Now, I've been offering a book twice so far, just twice, that quite honestly has not, well, my mailbox is not exactly full, let's put it that way. Maybe there's another book I could interest you in. All right, let's try this. I'm not selling. That's the strange thing about this. I'm trying to give away books. Here's one of the best books of all time in the Christian church. It's called Tortured for Christ, written by Richard Wurmbrand, the founder of the Voice of the Martyrs. Think of it, a man who dared to stand up. Months of solitary confinement, years of periodic physical torture, constant suffering from hunger and cold, the anguish of brainwashing and mental cruelty. Those were the experiences of a Romanian pastor during his 14 years in communist prisons. There's just been a whole lot of people who have read this book, great people who have been touched by it. You'll be touched by it too if you haven't read it yet. I know it's available many other places, but I'm not selling it. I want to give it to you. I have one copy here to give, and I'll just say that the first person who sends an invitation or a request for this book will receive this. I only have one of these. What you do is send me an email requesting this book, Tortured for Christ. The email will be sent to me, bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. I'll need your address and the title of the book, again, Tortured for Christ. I'll send the book to you free and postpaid. No follow-up, no strings. I'm not going to save your email address, your physical address. You'll never hear from me again. You won't be put on a mailing list. I just want good Christian literature to be in the hands of God's people. So, this offer is good for a while. I don't know. It seems like I change every day, right? Let's just see how. Well, I'll tell you what. This offer is only good until that book is gone. So please grab it while you can. The book is Torture for Christ. The email bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. And I hope you get it. I would love to send it to you. Well, I have the works of several great men of God, their stories and their words on this site. I have North Korea audios. I have the Quran study, Muhammad study, prophecy studies, and now 59 titles at Amazon on Kindle that are for $1 each. I will send you a disc that has all the works that I've ever written for just $10. Just click on Give and put the $10 click on it too and put your address. We have a blog here that's written just about every day. We have a Zoom meeting for men. Just send me your email of testimony. I'll send an invitation and the link to the meeting, the Zoom meeting, just men, Saturdays, 7 o'clock Central Time. Facebook friends, I'm looking for you too. Just look me up, Bob Faulkner in Niles on Facebook, so that we can be Christian friends. I've had some non-Christian ones and they weren't too fun. Looking for Christian friends on my Facebook account. Anyway, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we do get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.